Thank you, Pastor Denise. And thanks, Ben, for staying all the way up there just for that lovely crescendo. That was great. You guys are amazing. You could have been sitting down there 10 minutes ago, but you stayed for that moment. How's everyone doing? Good? Great. I'll take that as you're doing well. Hey, how good is it to have Bevan as a school principal? Yeah. You know, sending your kids off into someone else's care for 30 hours a week is like a big thing. And I just think of the man we've got leading our school, and I'm just like, this is the guy that I want to speak into my boy's life, my daughter's life. But he needs your prayer. He's a Bunnies fan. He's a Rabbitohs fan. And so life's not all roses and all that kind of stuff. He's going through the valley. And all our school staff do an amazing job. Lift them up in prayer. If you're sending your kids somewhere else, I don't know why. This is the guy you want speaking into your kid's life. He's great. All right, well, last time I spoke, it was about a month ago, I delivered a prequel, actually. It was What I Believe About Prosperity was the title. And I didn't really speak about prosperity at all during that time because it was the prequel. But today, I wanted to continue on that, and the title of my message is Pictures of Prosperity. And I think that is the verse we left off with. If you had that one up on the screen, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, so that you by his poverty could become rich." And the reason I wanted to tackle this subject, and I shared this last time, is because I do believe it's creating division in the body of Christ. You know, there's been a reaction to what people call prosperity preachers. You know, the ones that preach, if you just give me this specific amount of money, then God's going to bless you with a Ferrari. That God wants us all living up on Mount Pleasant with a great view. God wants us all to have, you know, so much material possession and so much blessing, and we should all be flying in private jets and we should never ever get sick and all those sorts of things. And there's that one camp, and then there's another camp that has reacted to that and says, no, if you have more than one t-shirt, then you're living with excess, and we should all be taking vows of poverty. And obviously those are two extremes, but it's forced me over the years to think about, what do I really believe about prosperity? Because the Bible seems to say sometimes some conflicting things. There are some verses where you read it and you think to yourself, God does want us all to prosper and to live in good health and to have wealth and to be financially secure and to prosper and all these sorts of things. And then there are other verses that you read it and you says, oh, God doesn't really like rich people very much, does he? He's got a few harsh things to say about those people that have too much. And so I thought to myself, what do I really think God says about prosperity? And I will warn you in advance, we may not finish this sermon today. Is it okay if we like leave it on the cliffhanger? You know, like come back for season two? This is the Netflix generation. You know what this is like, right? You get to the last episode and you think, they're not going to finish this. How wrong of these people to do this to me. So I want to start with a few quotes. These are convictions that I believe, two quotes that I found that I think summarize, and they're both true. And one is from Dr. Michael Brown. It says, God is not glorified through our poverty and lack. And I believe that. God is not glorified through poverty and lack for poverty and lack's sake. You can glorify God despite poverty and despite your lack, but God is not glorified by poverty and lack. But at the same time, God will not aid men in their selfish striving for personal gain. He will not help men attain ends which, when attained, usurp the place he by every right should hold in their interest and their affection. That's by W.A. Tozer. So God is not glorified by poverty and lack, but at the same time, God needs to be the center of our heart, amen? And the focus of our affection and the number one thing in our life. And he's not going to help you attain riches and wealth if that thing is going to usurp God's place in your heart. My dad is a pastor, and I've heard all his stories many times. And one of the things that he's bemoaned over the years, young adults, you need to listen to me. This is aimed at you, young adults, okay? He would say, you know what, Ben? That's my name. He would say, you know what? You know, I've seen the pattern all throughout the years. You get so many youth and young adults coming through, and they're just so on fire for God, you know, and they're willing to sacrifice all. They want to go, and they've got nothing. They run on the smell of an oily rag. They have no money. But they're just so passionate for God. They're sold out. They're at church 7 days a week. They're serving. They're here late, and they'll go to the mission field, you know, but then they get married, and they buy a house. And every weekend they're doing renos, and you never see them again. You're not going to be like that, right, young adults, yeah? And we don't have any married people here that take 3 months off to stay home and renovate their house because they're so passionate about the house of God, right? But that's the pattern that he saw. He says, it happens. He says, Ben, don't you be one of those people. I said, Dad, you're in luck. I have no skills. I can't even, you know, unclog a toilet. There's nothing I can do for myself. My only skill is knowing people who have skills. You wonder why, a lot of you wonder why is Ben so friendly? There's a reason, okay? I need you. That's what it's about. So God is not going to help us get riches if that's going to be the number one thing in our life. And here's some verses. When I talk about conflicting verses, you know, Proverbs 3:9 and says this, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. You can see God's heart there. God's nature is to give you excess, to overflow, new wine. And yet we read in 1 Timothy, it says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, we had a young guy in our church in Townsville. And when I'd go over his house, he's believed God called him to be a successful businessman, and we need those things. But he always had this picture of this red fast car in his fridge. So that's what I'm believing for. This is what I'm believing for. And I'm here to tell you, he did get that car, but he also pierced himself with many griefs over the years. Because I felt that that car was his real goal and his real aim. So here's some questions to consider this morning, and I'm warning you, I may not answer these questions, but these are questions that come to my mind when I think about prosperity and riches and things like that. I think, are we as Christians called to prosperity or to suffering? Don't give the answer away. Pastor Denise. Pastor Denise is preaching my sermon. Is it okay for Christians to have nice things? Or should we all be shopping exclusively at Best and Less, all right? If you shop at, that's where I shop, all right? No judgment here. I've got four kids. Does God bless us only so that we would be a blessing? That's a question that comes to my mind. You've heard that, blessed to be a blessing? Is that the only reason he blesses us? Is so that we will be a blessing to others? How much is too much? Is two shirts okay? If I went into your wardrobe, five shirts, how many pairs of shoes? Is it okay to own a Corolla or a BMW? Why does the world hate it so much when a church has money? That's a question, isn't it? Nothing gets the world more upset than a church that has nice things, I tell you that, and does things well. Nothing angers them more. We could be out there 7 days a week feeding the poor, but they'll say, oh, but look at that pastor, look what he's driving. Look at their stage. Look at their facilities. Oh, there's too much money there. This is the question I have. I'm not going to answer those questions directly, at least we probably won't get to there today. What's the time already? Here we go. But what I thought I'd do is I want to speak prosperity in general. I want to give you some pictures this morning. I'm going to be artistic. I'm going to be creative. Is that all right if I be creative? A lot of people say they're not creative. It's not true. Everybody is creative. You may not write songs. You may not play music, but you might build tables. You know, everybody is creative in some way. So I got into my creative mindset this week. And I've come up with some pictures. And I'm hoping that these pictures will speak to you even more than the words when we talk about prosperity this morning. And the first picture for you, I want you to think and imagine this morning, think steam trains, not sailboats. When it comes to prosperity, think steam trains, not sailboats. You see, the problem with a sailboat, it looks nice, but a sailboat is externally powered. A sailboat has no internal source of propulsion or power. A sailboat is at the mercy of its conditions, of its surroundings, of its environment. If the winds blow well, the sailboat travels fast. If the currents are good, the sailboat is good. But if there's storms, or if it's too calm, or if the waves are rocky, or there's lightning, or there's thunder, or whatever, that sailboat is in trouble. True? Whereas a steam train is internally powered. At the heart of a steam train is an engine. And that engine, if it's a good engine, is powered by good North Queensland coal, right? All the miners said amen, all right. Good North Queensland coal. And it doesn't matter if there's strong winds or no wind. It doesn't matter if there's a storm. They could even be snow. That steam train is unaffected by these things because that steam train is not reliant on outside circumstances. That steam train is powered by the inside. And that speaks to me of a truth when it comes to prosperity. You see, prosperity is an inner reality, not an external truth. Prosperity is a state of being in our heart. This is where I left off last time. The Bible says that I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Because prosperity first exists in here before it exists out there. You understand what I'm saying this morning? And sometimes you can look on the outside and you can try and judge how prosperous somebody might be. And I'm not just talking financially. Biblical prosperity is about relationships. It's about health. It's about ministry. It's about your marriage. It's about everything, right? And sometimes we can look on the outside and try and oh, that person, you know, look what they're driving. Look how much is it. They must be prosperous or whatever. But I tell you what, when a storm comes, when the winds change, or when the currents, sometimes they might lose everything. And well, are they prosperous or are they not? Sometimes you can look at the rich celebrities and they've looked from the outside, oh, they've got a great life. How good's everything going for them? Yet you read that they're on their fifth marriage, right? They're taking drugs for this depression and they're going through this and they're going through that and they're being sued by that person and they're unhappy. Did you know, this is a fact, I'm not making this up. I learned this by playing a board game. This is true. Pop stars, rock stars live on average compared to the rest of us. They have a life expectancy is 25 years shorter than the average human being. 25 years on average shorter than the average. That's not prosperity. You can have all. You can look on the outside and have all the whatever. Prosperity exists in here. What that means is sometimes even as a Christian who has prosperity in the inside, Christ has become poor, that you might become rich. Sometimes that means you might go through seasons where it looks on the outside things aren't going well. And that, you know, things might not be happening the way that they should be happening. But what happens is because prosperity exists in here, because you have that engine on the inside, that life living on the inside, you just keep powering ahead. And you know that if you keep doing good, when the time is right, you will reap a harvest. If you do not give up, amen? Galatians 6, verse 9. Because prosperity is not dependent on what's on the outside. Prosperity exists in here, and then it flows from what's in here out there. It will manifest out there at the right time. It has to. The physical follows the spiritual. And when it's in here, it will be seen out there. You know, at my workplace, we have these mango trees. And when you drive past my workplace, you could be fooled into thinking that these are healthy, strong trees because they fool you. They look green and they look nice when you go past these mango trees. But if you've got the close relationship with these trees that I have, I park under them every day. We're friends, okay? You will come to know they are not healthy, beautiful, strong mango trees. They don't give very many mangoes. In fact, some seasons I've been in Mackay, there's like particularly one of them, I call him Barry, Barry the mango tree. He gives no mangoes. He's a stingy tree. Some years it's decent, other years, there was one year, like not this year, but the year past, you could have put all the mangoes on this massive tree in one bucket. That's not a very good mango tree. They've not been looked after. They've not been cared for. They've just been left to the elements. They've not been, there's nothing, no one's put any effort into these mango trees. They look good, but they're not very fruitful. You compare that maybe to a tree, I'm thinking in Alaska. And you drive past that tree in the middle of winter in Alaska, what does it look like? It looks dead, doesn't it? It's got no leaves. It's got nothing going for it. You could be fooled on a simple drive-by to thinking that tree is not in a good way. But let me tell you, that tree is probably healthier than this mango tree. Because when summer comes, that Alaskan tree, all the leaves are going to be green and it's going to bear much fruit. Some people are driving, looking at their life, they're looking at the outside and they're looking right now and they're thinking, well, there's not many signs outwardly of prosperity and fruitfulness and multiplication. I'm telling you, everybody goes through hard seasons. Don't think sailboat that just gets pushed around and is at the mercy. Think steam engine. Just keep going. Because prosperity exists in here. And the Bible says in Psalm 1 that you will bear fruit in its season. And whatever you do will prosper. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Prosperity exists in here. Christ has died on the cross and he became poor that you would be rich. It doesn't matter what's in your bank account. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. I am rich in here. I am wealthy in here. And what is in here will be seen on the outside. You believe that this morning? I believe that this morning. Second picture I have for you is to think rivers and not dams. Rivers and not dams. Why? Because prosperity is a flow. Prosperity is a flow. When Jesus got angry at rich people, like you read this in Luke 12, 16 to 21, why does he get angry with rich people? I'll tell you why he's angry at rich people. He's angry, if you read in that second paragraph there, he says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. He says, I'll say to myself, I have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Why does Jesus get angry at rich people? When they store it, when they hoard it. Because prosperity is about flow. We're not dams, we're rivers. A dam stores, right? A dam cuts off so that nothing downstream gets anything. I've driven the Townsville to Brisbane trip many times, 1,428 kilometres, according to the sign on the way out of Townsville. I've driven it 60, 70, 80 times in my life. How good is that Townsville to Brisbane trip on our Bruce Highway? Quality highway, that one. I can tell you how many no, there's not many potholes. And every time we go over a bridge in the Burdekin, over the Burdekin River, who's been over that bridge? The game is you have to hold your breath over the bridge. Who holds their breath over the bridge? Yes. We teach our kids, you have to hold your breath. So hold your nose. I know you're breathing out your nose. Okay, hold your nose. I tell you what, I drive over that. In 95% of the time, I drive over that. It's a mighty river that is dry, isn't it? It's barren. There's no water. There's no flow. Why is that? Because of the Burdekin Dam, the biggest dam in North Queensland, I think. It's huge. It's like 24 Sydney harbours, I was told at school. I remember what I learned at school, Bevan. Yeah. It's dry. Why? Because somebody has stored up all the water and there's no flow. Prosperity, biblical prosperity, is not about storing things up. Biblical prosperity is a flow. We don't hold on to it. We flow. We release it. And as you release it, more comes in. You hear what I'm saying? That's why generosity is the key. Generosity is the key. The Bible says this. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, a river has to have faith to release water. A river says, oh no, this looks pretty dry up there. I can't see there's going to be any rain. I better hold on to this water. I better store it up. No, a river just releases and more comes in. That's the way we live as Christians. We have to release what's in our life because prosperity is a flow. We don't store it up. We don't hoard it and keep it all for ourselves and cut up. No, the world needs what's in your life. The world needs your gifts, your talents, your generosity. The world needs it. The kingdom of God needs it. So we release it, and as we release it, more comes in. It's 11 o'clock already. Worship team, come on up. Or Pilly's thinking, geez, I didn't get much of a break today. That's because he stayed up there for 10 minutes, or Pilly. Proverbs 11 says this, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Because the key to biblical prosperity is not about hoarding, it's about releasing. It is a flow. As it comes in, you release it, it goes out. And sometimes it's an act of faith to release. You have to be convinced that God is not going to leave you high and dry. It may look like there's no rain in the sky. It may look like it's far from you, but you still, by faith, you release it and more comes in. You know, I think of those widows. There's widows in the Old Testament. There's a widow in the New Testament. You know, the widow in the Old Testament with Elisha and has nothing really. But what was the key to her survival, the key to her success, was to first make something for the prophet and then for herself. She had nothing but had to give it. She could have hoarded it. No, had to release it for more to come her way. I think of the widow in the New Testament who Jesus is there watching and says she gives a few mites at the temple. And Jesus commends her to the disciples and says, you know, all the other people, they're giving out of their excess, but she's giving out of her lack. How great that is. You know, isn't it interesting that sometimes we're nicer than Jesus, and we shouldn't be, but we are. Because what we would have done is we would have said to the widow, what are you doing? You've got nothing. The temple's got plenty of money. Why are you giving? The temple's got, why? Hold on to that. No, you take it. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus just claps. Why? Because the key to that widow's prosperity is in releasing. She could hold, she could dam it up, she could contain, but the key to getting prosperity to flow in your life is to release. Because as you release, in comes the flow. So Jesus doesn't chase her and say, no, have your money back. Jesus just claps. We're nicer than Jesus, I tell you. Sometimes we're too nice. And the reason we need to generate that flow is because on the banks of the flow of life, as you give out, on the banks of that flow exist your marriage, your kids, your work, your ministry, your finances. Where do the strongest healthy trees grow? On the banks of a river. Yeah? On the banks of a river. You ever flown from Townsville to Brisbane or anywhere in this dry country of ours? And on a cloudless day, you can look down at the landscape. It's all brown, except these snaking lines of green. What are they? Sometimes you can't even see the water, but you know there's a river there somewhere. There's a creek or a stream. The only green spot is on the banks of the river. That's what we are. That's where we are. We are on the banks of a river. A river that gives. A river that serves. A river that doesn't hold, but it releases. Generosity is faith. Generosity is faith. It's two things, actually. It's one, it's heart, because you have a heart to bless others, right? You have a heart to bless the kingdom, but it's also faith that God has got your back and God will provide. And some people, sometimes we get a little bit too religious. I'm afraid of some from offending anyone. You get a little bit too religious and we always focus on the heart and we say, when you give, you shouldn't give expecting anything. But you should always give because, you know, the heart is for this and you just want to, well, that's fine and that is true. And if you only ever give with that heart, you're more Christian than me and I applaud you. But there are a lot of verses you have to ignore about how God is going to bless you when you give. If all you're doing, the heart is good. I don't give with a heart to get blessed. I give with a heart to bless others. But I also give with faith. You can have the right heart and you can have faith that I can release this finance. I can release. I'll do it with my heart. Even if he doesn't bless me, I'll do it because I have a heart for it. But I also can have faith at the same time that when he says, given it will be given, he doesn't lie. When he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that he'll open up, he doesn't lie. When he says, bring your first fruits, that your barns will overflow and your vats will, he doesn't lie. He's true. So I can give with the right heart, but I can also give with faith. That helps me release what I have into the life of others. Are you with me this morning? I'm here to tell you, I only got through two of my pitches and I have more, but we're not gonna make it this morning. So we're gonna have to do not only Prosperity the prequel, but Prosperity the sequel. It's an unintended trilogy this morning. Hey, I think sometimes we limit God, we limit what he can do, we limit his blessing in our life. And I'm not just talking finance, but I'm talking in our marriage, I'm talking in our family, I'm talking in our business, I'm talking in our ministry, because we hold on. But I tell you, God has got infinite amount he wants to pour out. We're going to seek first his kingdom and all these things are added unto us this morning. Next time I speak, I'm going to tell you to think about seeds before orchards. And I'm going to tell you to get outside your tent and look at the stars instead of looking at your tent. I'm also going to tell you about how we should build His house, and that if we build His house, He's going to build our house, just like He did for King David. Because I believe, my conviction is, God is not a stingy God. He's not glorified poverty and lack. Doesn't mean we don't have struggle. Doesn't mean we don't have sacrifice. Doesn't mean there aren't seasons where that we release and it takes a while for that flow to come back. That's that gap. Faith is in the gap, amen? From when you release to when it arrives. Sometimes that gap's a little bit longer than you're comfortable with. But God is a God of the infinite. Yeah? He's a God of the infinite. And we might even get around to answering some of those questions I asked, hopefully. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Holy Spirit, we thank You for the power of a picture, the power of an image, Lord. And Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that even more than the words that are said, that You can bring dreams to people's hearts, You can bring pictures to people's hearts. Father, You can communicate in a way that's better than what I can communicate. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing on every listener this morning, everyone who might listen during the week. Holy Spirit, let us know what You're really like. Let us know Your character. Let us know Your nature. Father, we'd be full of faith. We'd be full of confidence that You are for us and not against us. As for the Holy Spirit challenging some people this morning when I spoke about holding on instead of releasing, I pray for a godly challenge to come into your heart, a godly challenge that comes with an enablement to do it. Lord, we don't bring condemnation this morning. Father, we don't release out of fear, but Lord, we want to release with confidence today. We want to release with confidence today that You're with us, that You're for us, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing together this morning?